Let's freaking go! A glorious Tuesday night live stream presented by our friends at Kettle. You still have your chance to win Will Campbell's Rolex watch that he wore on draft night. Check it out, kettle.shop/phlsu. We have got to talk about LSU's latest commitment, a shocker in the minds of many. We're going to play the audio. He had a little hokey-doke at his commitment ceremony. It is Havon Finney, Sierra Canyon High School. A lot of you probably know that from LeBron's son in L.A., a top 100 corner. Now, I've not watched much of him, but the highlights do look to be pretty good. This is, you know, your prototypical Corey Raymond, 6'2", 170, freak corner with long arms and big-time playmaking ability. So this is the question that a lot of you probably have watching this right now, whether it's a live premiere or a pre or a post live rewatch. And if you're listening on iTunes, Spotify, I will verbally break this down. The question that you want to know, that you want to have answered, is he actually going to sign with LSU? Because it is crazy that he was supposed to just be announcing his top three. It was his mother's birthday, a little birthday surprise for Madre, and he decides to commit, okay? So we don't know. We do not know. Obviously, Corey Raymond did an excellent job closing in on an out-of-state five-star corner last year in DJ Pickett. It wasn't the only corner slash DB that LSU did a good job getting in, but getting Pickett was well worth it. He looks like he is going to be a very, very good player. But the position that has moved quite a bit in the transfer portal era has been defensive back. And by move, I mean decommit before the actual signing day. So we don't know if Finney is going to sign or not. But there are a lot of different reasons as to why DBs commit and decommit more often than not, okay? One is there's a lot of DBs that commit very early to LSU or another big school, and they're a misevaluation. I remember a few years ago, there was a defensive back by the name of Kamari Rogers that committed to LSU. And early in the process, he was a top 100 DB. And he was not a top 100 DB. He free fell in the rankings because he was a misevaluation. So what happened with that? Well, LSU decided to move on, as did Kamari Rogers. It was not a fit. Okay, so that happens quite a bit. That's not the case with Finney. He actually is good. A 6'2 corner that runs like him, they more than likely are not going to have a free fall in the rankings. What happens is defensive back is a very fluid position. You have to keep in mind that five DBs are on the field at all time. Two outside corners, one nickel, and two safeties. And sometimes the position that you start is not how you finish, right? Some corners come in as safeties. Some safeties get moved over to corner. Some become nickels. Some just become rotational dimes and special teamers. So your numbers can fluctuate. You need more of them. Whereas, you know, with defensive tackle, yeah, you need a rotation at that position. That is a heavy rotated position. But there's two on the field more often than not. DB, there's five total. Okay. And the numbers change. And not only do your own personal numbers change, the NIL numbers change as well. So Finney, of course, you're getting him out of California. He was being heavily pursued by Ohio State, who is, you know, the king of college football right now, and quite a few other schools. You know, we are getting this 2026 class lined up, and we do, in fact, need a corner because Mansoor Delane only has 1 year of eligibility remaining. So, a very good commitment. But I decided to actually do some research on this. Is it true that defensive backs have a tendency to decommit more? Well, I haven't been able to take a wide-angle view of this, but this is from our latest Patreon piece. You can sign up now, patreon.com/LSU football. Next week, We are giving out a Ja'Marr Chase autograph uniform. Okay. And I'm really, really, really excited about that. But let's actually take a look at the actual decommitments at LSU since 2018. Okay. And we'll go back to 2018 because that's when, it's not when the portal started, basically, but still, we'll get more into portal era guys in just a second, okay? On portal NIL era guys. So you can see in 2018, we lost two big commitments right before signing day, and both of these players ended up being very good. Caden Stearns, five-star Texas, he flipped to Texas, and ironically, he was the one that gave up the 2019 third and 17 play. Then our Darius Washington is another DB who is listed here, and he also was very good. He's still with the Baltimore Ravens. I remember this decommitment. He is actually one of the better Louisiana defensive backs I can remember watching. He was a can't-miss three-star, right? He's probably one of the more misevaluated players. He ended up going to TCU, left TCU, and is still with the Ravens. So he's good. He's a really good player and ended up hurting us in the long run. But we move on. 2019, Marcus Banks was committed to LSU. He decommits and goes to Mississippi State and has a good career there. He wasn't a great player, but he was a good player. In 2020, we lost two DBs. Both of these guys kind of moved on. That was the class where a lot of guys got moved on from. Another player that decommitted in quotations, was Major Burns this year. Chris Abraham was a superstar and Lorenzo Johnson was kind of a role player. But we get into this era, right? The more modern transfer portal NIL era. And Nate Wiggins is definitely one of the top five biggest recruiting losses in LSU history. Because what makes a recruiting loss so unfreaking believably big isn't necessarily how good of a player you are. It's what do you have behind you? What is left in your wake, if you will? So I could argue that Nate Wiggins was a bigger recruiting loss than Patrick Surtain. Surtain, the better player than Nate Wiggins, but we still had Christian Fulton, and the next season we were able to get Derek Stingley Jr. Nate Wiggins didn't commit, and by the way, the number next to the player is their national recruiting ranking. Nate Wiggins was committed to us, and he flipped to Clemson, and our corner room was a disaster. As many of you know, it's been mostly not great since 2021, and if we would have had Nate Wiggins in 2021, 2022, and 2023, we would have been a far better football team. He's that big of a needle mover. And then in recent history, this is where it starts getting crazy. Bryce Anderson, Jacoby Matthews, they both flipped to Texas A&M. Bryce Anderson was a little earlier in the process, but Jacoby Matthews flipping to A&M ended up hurting us. Now, obviously, we don't know what he's doing, but he was a good player. Dalen Austin had an off-the-field thing at Oregon, so we don't know if he was good or not, but he was still a corner slash DB that decommitted from us, and he is also from California like Finney. 2024, we had two defensive backs decommit very late in the process, Andre Evans and Kai Bates. Evans went to Georgia, Bates went to Tennessee. And then last year, Kate Phillips was a five-star who flipped to Texas. So basically, every season since 2018, you have had a DB decommit, and the reason why it's so important to hold on to Finney is a lot of those guys have hurt LSU that they're gone. Okay, it's just the truth, and that's why you really need to hold on to the signatures. Yes, it can be fixed with the portal. Yes, it can be fixed with so let's say next year, a guy like Ashton Stamps going into year three, if he becomes a stud, you'll have him and Pickett as your full-time outside corners. Or P.J. Woodland, if he becomes a superstar, that solves a lot of your problems. But you've got to hold on to these commitments. You really do. There's not any one player that is a must get that has never existed in the history of college football. No one player is a must get recruit, but you do need to try your best to hold on to a majority of them. Now, what I would also say is we don't know if Kai Bates or Andre Evans are any good yet. We don't. They've only played 1 year of college football, and neither one played last year. But we'll see if those two end up being good or not. The bottom line, though, is yes, you should be always worried, especially in this day and age, of a decommitment. But I think the more important question is not necessarily if a player decommits, how important is it to hold on to him to the finish line? Because if you have a player that's committed, even though corner is a position that, you know, you could take two or three in the same class, it can dissuade other corners from thinking about committing to LSU, right? Because you're taking up one of the spots that could go to another player in that recruiting class. So you've already spent all these resources, the time that goes into pursuing a player. It's so important to hold on to them. It really is, okay? Now, because this is a midweek game Tuesday, we will not go for that long because I love watching the midweek games. Weekend games are really hard for me. You know, DJing a lot of weddings, I won't be able to watch this weekend series next week. But watching Southeastern, I hope we avenge last week's double-digit loss. I do have a baseball take here before we get to our next football topic. Is I understand that, you know, we're getting excited, Southeastern. I love all these midweek games, okay? I'm about to give you one of the weirdest takes I have ever given on this show. I don't mind midweek losses. And I understand a lot of people say that, but they really don't count. Unless you lose a lot of midweek games versus bad teams, they mean abso-freaking-lutely nothing. And I was kind of shocked by this. I would have thought, let's see, I was doing some research on this a little bit earlier. Okay, here it is. I want to show you the latest D1 baseball rankings. Okay, now, there are quite a few baseball diehards that don't give a rip about D1 baseball in particular, okay? But I want you to take a look at this. Last week, so this goes by a week-to-week basis. So they released their ratings, obviously, last Monday, all right? And then they released a new set of ratings yesterday, all right? I want to show you how stupid these rankings are, okay? And how nonsensical and fickle ranking LSU baseball or just college baseball teams in general are. All right, so I could argue that getting 10 run ruled last week by Northwestern should hurt you far more in your own rankings than winning a 3-game series versus Tennessee. But that's not what actually happened. So you'll see that LSU had a miraculous, and I mean miraculous, Friday night victory. All right, so they get beat by 10, miraculous Friday night victory, blown out, and then they blow out Tennessee in game 3, okay? So they were ranked number 7 and move up to number 2 versus Tennessee. And then Tennessee, they went 2-2. They were ranked number 6, lost a miracle game. Absolutely, positively, miracle game to LSU. That one victory, Friday night miracle, would have probably had Tennessee at 35-9, 2-2 in conference, at number 2, and LSU at 35. It would have been what, 35-10, 1-3. That would have had LSU down here. So that Jared Jones home run, in essence, fluctuated 10 slots in the college baseball D1 baseball rankings. That is absolutely insane to me. So, you know, once again, it's not apples to apples because, you know, Tennessee also lost a midweek game. But it goes to show you how big that home run was, because the national seeds are going to be very competitive. As you guys saw, Georgia's loaded this year, and, you know, it's kind of a sore subject because LSU baseball's pitching coach, Wes Johnson, is the head coach of Georgia. Arkansas's really good this year. Florida's starting to get hot, but they won't be a national seed. And then you had Clemson, Florida State. You had a bunch of other teams mixed in there. Y'all, that play was so big. And it wasn't just a Jerry Jones home run. Obviously, it was the errors and all the clutch hitting mixed in there. But holy crap, that was one of the most rewarding weekend series victories. And it goes to show you that your midweek games don't mean anything. They mean absolutely nothing. Once again, if you lose a bunch of them, then yes, it should hurt your rankings. Once again, a very good argument could be made that when you lose by, you get 10 run ruled by an in-state rival, you should be lower in the rankings. Now, LSU shot up the rankings. I understand it's really hard to do this. In college football, you have one data point a week. Baseball, you have four different data points. But the thing that makes midweek games fun is if the other team wins, it doesn't hurt you all that much. It really doesn't. And, you know, it makes you question, why do you play the midweek games? I'm sure some coaches have discussed that behind closed doors. But it still does produce gate revenue, and it's good for the other small schools. So I don't want them to go away. Okay. Now, I want to tell you about our friends at Fast Draft Fantasy. It is simple. Sign up today using my promo code Carter for a deposit match bonus up to $50. Y'all, the rookies are locked in. I've been loading up on those rookie drafts. I freaking love Fast Draft Fantasy. Sign up now. It helps your boy out in a major, major, major way. All right. So, last thing before we get to the actual baseball game, I do want to share this. Okay, this was actually from the Hafan Finney announcement. Let me see. I want to play this clip because it's just a thing of freaking beauty.
Well, first, I'd like to thank God because without him, nothing is possible. Then I'd like to thank my family, my friends, coaches, trainers for always or for helping me get to this point. And I want to give a special shout out to my mom because it's her birthday today. And I have a surprise for her. So I'm supposed to be announcing my top three schools today, but I mean, instead, I'll just be committed. So with that being said, I'll be committing to LSU.
The LSU Tigers go out west for one of the top players in the country. Haven Finney, elite corner, is heading to Death Valley. Haven, what made LSU the choice for you?
Well, it was the easy choice for me. The coaching staff, the environment, and the alumni base that they have. I mean, you could build connections on and off the field there.
And Mom, I want to ask you for your reaction as well. What is this moment like for you?
It's amazing. I'm happy for him. This was truly unexpected, but I'm happy to be here.
And celebrating a birthday with an LSU helmet in front of her as the Tigers come out west to get Haven Finney, elite cornerback from Sierra Canyon. Emily, back to you in the studio.
Love it. Oh, man. Body language experts. Let me know. Do you think Mom was locked in on LSU? I freaking love it. You know, the big story, and we'll end on this, the AJ Halsey recruitment. You know, I do think it's important to keep in mind that this guy has all the power. Basically, I believe it's down to LSU and Miami. Ole Miss also floating in there, okay? I think LSU is in it. I do think LSU is wondering if they should splurge on this. I think that they should. I do. Now, I don't have the money in front of me. I really don't. I don't have the numbers, anything like that. But is it worth? I mean, he's going to fetch minimum 500K. That is the absolute bare minimum it's going to cost. And it's probably going to be closer to a seven-digit number, okay? I do think it's worth it, not necessarily because you feel uncomfortable about your safety room, because I do, and I think a lot of you feel that way. But it just gives you peace of mind that somebody is back there who's actually played this position for a full season. There is only one other player on this team that's basically done that on a game-to-game full full season basis, and that's Jordan Gilbert. I do think, and in fact, I have spoken to I won't say specifically what he does, but let's just say he attends practice every day. LSU likes their safety room. In particular, there is growing belief that Deshaun Spears takes a leap. Growing belief. But, you know, your safety room right now is Demarcus Cooley, Jaron Gilbert, Javian Toviano, Joel Rogers, Deshaun Spears. Okay? A lot of wild cards mixed in there. And that is not baking in the semi-possibility that one of those guys has to eventually take over the star or the nickel if the Harold Perkins experiment does not work out. So there are people that feel LSU has enough. And like I said, there was a few players this weekend that were able, you know, to get away a lot of the defensive stars of this team. And they're confident. I mean, they are confident that they are going to be good defensively. I would like to think that this will be the best Brian Kelly LSU defense, at least the best Brian Kelly LSU defense of the past 3 years. That first-year defense was really good with Jay Ward, Jarek, and Ollie Gay and all those guys, Wingo. But can this defense be better than what that was that year? You know, a few things when I was researching this defense, they were a very good penalty defense. They're fundamentally sound when it comes to not committing penalties. But no matter who you bring in, I do think philosophically, the one thing that I would circle on every single dry erase board is rush yards before contact. What can we do to clog lanes better next year? What can we do to make the opposing team's rushing attacks worse? Okay. You know, I think a good running game, I really do. I think a good running game is a running game that gains yards on its own volition. Basically meaning the play call is good, the scheme is good, and the players are good. But I think an exceptional running game is one that is aided by the defense's own lack of self-control, its own structural deficiencies, all right? And that's important to differentiate when you're looking at a running play and why a running play decided or a running play that succeeded or didn't succeed. How easy was it for the other team to pick up those yards? Okay. Perfect example. Let's go to the first LSU offensive touchdown of the Joe Burrow era. It was the worst rush defense I have ever seen versus LSU, where they basically gave up a 50-yard touchdown to Nicholas Brissett right up the middle. And Brissett, who was a good player, took advantage of it. You compare that to Jeremy Hill's 50-yard run versus South Carolina, where you had to break a few tackles, get away from DJ Swearinger, and house a very difficult run. You know, there's differences, right? One was a pretty solid running back being aided by the poor defense. The other was an exceptional running back with good blocking who made some very special plays to house a long touchdown run. Okay. Let's go to H-Town Creole before we get out of here. He says, don't do it. I like the mixture of experienced transfer portal players with the young talent. I do think that's a direction this is headed. I would love AJ Halsey. I really would. Okay. I really, really, really would. But I do think LSU is going to be like, look, we like where we are. I would also say, once again, this is just hearsay, I don't believe LSU is really recruiting anybody else. I really don't think so. I've not heard anything. Once again, I haven't built this channel on being an insider. I don't have inside information behind any of that. Like, and what the big reporters do, they're awesome. I do hear things from time to time. At this juncture, I don't know of LSU pursuing any one player outside of Halsey at this juncture. I know it's not exciting, but it's just my info that I wanted to share at the end of this. Okay. Now, it is so important that you support our partners, Zion Imaging and the 360 Spin Booth Experience. If you are thinking about throwing any type of party, wedding, anniversary, quinceañera, Zion 360 Spin Booth Experience, xyan360.com. Okay. Fast Draft Fantasy, and of course, our friends, our title sponsor for the next week and a half, Kettle. Kettle.shop/PHLSU. Once again, that's kettle.shop/PHLSU. Okay. Let's enjoy some LSU baseball, and we'll see you tomorrow night, 6 p.m. Central, for another live stream. Let's freaking